Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 through 9. It says, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Verse 7, then Moses called for Joshua. And as all Israel watched, he said to him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word this morning. God, I thank you right now for your word speaking to each and every one of our hearts today. Lord, I pray right now that we will all, God, just have ears that are open, hearts that are open, not only to receive, not only to hear what you're saying, but God, to receive what you want to deposit in our hearts, in our spirits, and in our souls this morning through your word today, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that we will not just hear a message, that we will not just hear a couple of cool points, that we will not just get something to think about and go, oh, that's kind of neat. Lord, I pray that we will have an encounter with the very life-giving presence of you in this house this morning as we look at your word together in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your belly, on your heart somewhere. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus. Come on, everybody, say, Jesus. If you're in your living room right now, say it with us one more time. Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've been talking about crossing over. I know this has been a little bit different of a message series. This is, I told you from the get-go, this is just if I could say it this way, this is just what I've sensed in my heart. It's a bit of a prophetic call and a prophetic word that I just know the Lord has mandated me to speak out into the atmosphere, into our hearts, and that this has been a couple of messages and a series. And I told you from the get-go that this is some stuff that this is more stuff you need to catch more than I need to teach. Amen. There's some things in life, there's some things in the Word of God that can be taught, and there's some things that can only be caught. And this is a caught type of word, I feel like, in my heart. Because what I sense in my heart is that God has spoken very clearly and said, it's time for you, it's time for me, and it's time for this house to cross over in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got a promise to go after, we've got some land to possess, we've got some things that God has called us to do. And I don't know about you, but I've wandered the wilderness long enough. Amen, somebody? I've walked around this mountain long enough, and I sense the Holy Spirit saying, you don't need to walk around that mountain no more. Not one more day. It's time to cross over. How many people are ready to cross over in this house this morning? So we've been talking about crossing over. Here at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses is just about to hand the reins of leadership of the people of Israel over to his protege, to his son in the faith, his spiritual son who has been by his side for all these years in the wilderness, a fellow by the name of Joshua. He's about to hand over the reins of leadership to Joshua, and three different times in those couple of verses, Moses looks at the people and looks at Joshua directly and says these words, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, instead be strong and courageous. And if you look through the book of Deuteronomy, look those words up, you'll find out that actually seven times throughout the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, Moses says almost that exact thing over and over and over again to the people of Israel or to Joshua or to someone else. He tells them, listen, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Why do you think Moses has to tell them so many times to be strong and courageous and not to be afraid? I'll go ahead and answer the question before you even ask. The reason Moses has to say that is because this one truth remains that you cannot miss, and I do not want to misrepresent or lead you down the wrong way or lie to you about. Listen, the reality is this. While we can amen, and that while we get excited about the prospect of God taking us from the wilderness across the Jordan River and into whatever promise that God has for our life, the reality is that when you cross over and when you go to take the land that God has given you, When you go to lay hold of the thing that God has called you to lay hold of, listen to me, friend, don't miss this. There will certainly still be some giants. There will certainly be some things over on the other side of the river that will make your knees knock together and that will make you have cause to scratch your head, have your heart beat fast, make your palms sweat, make you nervous, and make you be afraid. And Moses, knowing that going in, over and over repeats to them, hey, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Do not be afraid. Seven different times throughout Deuteronomy. And then if you look at even through Numbers, Joshua, and the whole story, all that time, it's over and over and over and over again. God is saying to the people that he's calling to cross over. Wilderness wanderers that he's created and called to be promised possessors. He says to them, do not be afraid. And the reason for that is because there are giants. There are things, and listen, certainly there are giants, but listen, there are also some other things. Crossing over can be and will certainly be scary. Turn to your neighbor and say, it can be scary. Turn to somebody else and say, it can be scary. But before we even talk about the giants, we're actually going to talk about that specifically next week. Before we can either even say, don't worry about the giants and the battles and the enemies and the struggle that might be a part of going into the promise, you need to understand something. There's something else that you're going to have to face. There's another fear that we're going to have to face if we're going to move from being wilderness wanderers to promised possessors, if we are going to cross over. Listen, and the first fear, before we even look at a giant, before we even look at a demonic stronghold, before we even look at the devil, listen, the first fear that we're going to have to face is this. It's the fear of change. It's the fear of change. Don't miss this. Don't say I didn't tell you this. Before we amen again about crossing over and laying hold of the promise, listen to him. You got to understand something. Crossing from wilderness wanderer to promise possessor requires fundamental changes in my identity. I didn't think I'd get many amens there. Bring up a couple of these lights, please, so I can see everybody's face, so I know everybody's with me this morning. Make sure we're not putting anybody to sleep. There we go. Oh, man, you got to turn them back off. I don't need to see it. No, I'm just kidding. Turn them on. Turn them on. I want to see faces and eyeballs. Click that for me. If I'm going to cross over, if I'm going to move from being someone who has lived in the wilderness my whole life into someone who's going to lay hold of the promise and the word and the things that God has called me to lay hold of, listen, that is going to require some fundamental changes in who I am, how I think, how I see myself, how I operate, and how I structure and live my life. And listen to me, when you begin to face those changes, when you begin to look at yourself in the mirror and go, man, I don't recognize how to do this. I don't see how to do this. This doesn't look familiar to me. This feels real uncomfortable to me. Listen to me, when those changes begin to force themselves, when those changes begin to present themselves, I want you to remember these words. Listen to me, friend. I want you to remember these words when you begin to back down and shrink down and feel anxiety and feel overwhelmed by changes that need to listen to me. I want you to listen to these words. I want you to hear this. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous, even in the face of what might seem like fundamental, core, foundational, and even at times overwhelming changes that need to be made in who I am, what I've done, and how I live my life. Let me talk about just a couple of those changes that are real key that absolutely have to be made if I'm going to cross over. And in Jesus' name, I'm crossing over, amen? And in Jesus' name, I want you to cross over with me. I want your family to cross over with me. And I want this house to cross over into everything that God's called us to have, amen? But we're going to have to understand this. Listen, there's a couple changes that we cannot be afraid of. The first one is this. We're going to have to not be afraid of the change in our living situation. This is what I mean. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 9. Put that up on the screen for me, please. Deuteronomy 28, verse 9. There we go. This was God's plan when they crossed over. He says, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish. Everybody say establish. The Lord will establish you. Who's he going to establish? Who's he going to establish? Everybody, who's he going to establish? The Lord will establish you. That's me. That's you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people as he swore he would do. Listen, crossing over into the promise of God, laying hold of the things that God has called for us to walk in, to do, to have, and the people that God has called us to ultimately be, listen to me, that is going to be about establishing, planting, building some permanent situations and structure in my life. Amen? What I mean is this. The change in living quarters when I cross over means that I'm going to change from living in a tent that I can pull up and take wherever I want to, anytime I want to, into building a house on a foundation that is a lot more difficult and can't just be ripped up and pulled up whenever the going gets tough or whenever I get afraid or whenever I get offended or whenever something doesn't work out like I want it to. Come on, somebody. If I'm going to cross over into the promised land, if I'm going to move from the wilderness, cross the Jordan, and take the land that God has called me to take, I'm going to have to stop living in a tent, and I'm going to have to build me a house. Come on, somebody. I'm going to have to build me a house. What that means is this. Living in the promise demands my commitment to the place that God has called me to be. And this is a truth that you will find all throughout. This is a chord and a theme that will run all throughout the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, you will discover this. If you look for it, you will see this. Watch this now. God's promise is often connected to a place. God's promise is often connected to a place. In fact, for hundreds of years, the promise of God was about a place, a chunk of land that he had promised Abraham. When he first called Abraham, he said, go to the place I will show you, and there I will make you a great nation. The promise was connected to a place. Amen, somebody? Listen, when God said, Moses, I'm going to reveal myself to you, he led him to a place in the desert where there was a tree that was burning, and the promise was connected to a place. This theme runs all throughout Scripture. And listen, if I'm going to be a person of the promise and stop being a person that lives day to day in the wilderness, I might have to get committed to the place that God has called me, that God has commanded his promise to be fulfilled in my life. Because God's promise is often connected to a place. What that means is this. It means I'm going to have to grow some roots. It means I'm going to have to plant some roots. I'm going to have to establish. It means I have to build some foundations. It means I'm going to have to build some permanent structures in my life to possess the promise. When I begin to cross over and live in the promises of God, listen to me, I cannot float from relationship to relationship and possess the promises of God. I cannot just haphazardly wander and float from place to place, from job to job, and expect to possess and lay hold of the promises of God. I cannot move and float and just wander around from church to church and from pastor to pastor and from town to town if I'm going to possess the promises of God, because the promises of God are often connected to a place. Amen? I'm feeling a weird pushback in here on that today. I know it's hard. I know you don't want to commit. I know that we call it freedom. I know that we don't want to put too much in the middle. I know that we don't want to believe that or think that. I know that we want to think that we can just go wherever, do whatever, be whatever, and God will just bless me. No, my friend, God will not bless me just everywhere I go. God's blessing is contingent upon me walking in obedience. So if God tells me to pick my foot up and put it down here, and I put it down over here instead, I'm going to miss the blessing and the promise that God had for me right there. God's promise is about a place. Amen? And if I'm serious about possessing the promise, I'm going to have to be serious about committing to the place that God has called me to be. Now, for someone, you got to remember, we talked about this last week, but I want to reiterate it here. For a generation who for 40 years, kids who were born, raised, become teenagers, raised their own kids, for a generation who has known nothing but living in a tent, for a generation who has never stayed in more than one place at a time for just any more than a few weeks at a time, maybe, the prospect and the idea of committing to one place, the prospect of putting up your tent and building a house that you can't just run away from whenever you feel like it, certainly that can be scary. Amen? The prospect of going all in, if you will, putting everything in the middle and committing as much as you can for as long as you can to one relationship, for someone who has maybe never had a steady relationship, maybe never had a marriage that worked out, maybe never seen an example of a marriage that lasted any more than any kind of a length of time. The prospect of trusting someone, one person, one thing, one place, all of that, friend, I know that can be scary. The idea of having a real job and a 401k plan and things that you can't just cut ties from and easily walk away from and all that. Friend, I know that can be scary. If you've been hurt in church over and over again and found yourself moving from house of faith and family of God and family of faith to family of faith because this happens and that happens, I know that the prospect of committing again and serving again and getting plugged in again and saying this is the place for me again, I know it can be scary, but listen, if I want the promise of God, I've got to be committed to the place where God has called me to be. And if that is freaking you out, and if that is scaring you and making you, am I preaching to somebody this morning? If that is scaring you and freaking you out, listen, I want you to hear these words. Be strong and courageous. Be encouraged. Do not be afraid to make the commitment that the promise demands. Amen? Be strong and courageous. The second thing that can be real scary, the second change that can be real scary, is not only the change in my living situation, but it's the change in my provision. Watch this. Put Exodus 16 up there, please. I don't feel like turning to it. Exodus 16, verse 35. This is at the beginning of the wilderness journey. It says, so the people of Israel ate manna for 40 years until they arrived at the land where they would settle. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now, we talked about this manna a little bit last week. The Bible says that the Lord himself, every single evening, would provide manna on the ground. It showed up on the ground like dew from the morning, and they would kind of scoop up this flaky stuff off the ground that was like, the Bible says it was this honey-like wafery substance. It was like Honeycrisp or something. I don't know. Some kind of, you know, imagine honeycombs. Remember that honeycomb cereal? That's kind of how I imagine it. I don't know if that's what it was. The word manna in the Hebrew act literally means, what is this? You know what I mean? And I imagine in my head that they just walked out and was like, what is this? And somebody was like, I don't know. Let's see if it tastes good. You ever think about that? Like, I think a lot of times about, like, who looked at a chicken egg and thought, you know, if I apply heat, I might have breakfast. You know what I mean? Like, who was the first guy to try that? Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, how many people got salmonella poisoning before they realized, you know, if we cook these things a little bit, we don't spend the rest of the day throwing up. You know what I mean? Like, who was the first person to look at a pineapple and decide, that looks like something I could eat? I mean, it's got spikes and pointy things all over it. It's hard. It's ridiculous. You know what I mean? How did we figure these things out? I have no idea. Somebody said, what is this? I don't know. Let's eat it. We didn't die? All right. Put it in the fridge. You know what I mean? That's what this manna is. The Bible says they ate this manna every single day for 40 years. Now put Joshua up there, Joshua chapter 6. I'm sorry, Joshua 5:12. Says, no manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. Think about this. Your whole life, from the time that you were born to the time that you crossed over this river, you woke up every single morning and there were honeycombs on the ground. And you scooped them up and put them in a bowl with cereal and with goat milk or whatever and had breakfast. Every single day. All of a sudden, you walk into a new place, pick an apple from the tree, take a bite, and all of a sudden God says, that's it on the manna. There was a significant change in the source of provision once the people crossed over from the wilderness into the promise. And I can just imagine the murmuring. I can imagine the nervous sweating. I can imagine the wondering. I can imagine the doubts and the fears and the question. Can you imagine the first day you wake up, look outside to get your Honeycrisp that's been there every day for your whole life, and all of a sudden it's not there? You think that was a little scary? You think they looked around and go, man, what happened? God has been sending this stuff called manna every single day from heaven. Listen to me. Here's what we got to understand. The first day that I ate from what the promise produced was the last day that they got manna from heaven. God was still providing, and they still had to trust God, but the manner and the way in which God provided changed all of a sudden, and that change required a fundamental change in how the Israelites got their food and believed God and to provide for them. As long as they were in the wilderness, God just sent it from heaven. They didn't have to do nothing for it. As long as they were in the wilderness, God sent quail a couple times a week to have their meat, and God just sent it from heaven. They didn't have to do nothing for it except walk outside, scoop it up, and pick it up, and cook it and eat it. But the first moment that they got into God's promise where God had called them to be, all of a sudden, they had to start working for a living. All of a sudden, they had to start planting crops. All of a sudden, they had to start farming. All of a sudden, they had to start believing God to make what God had put in their hands. They had to start believing God that he would make that produce for them year after year, time after time. All of a sudden, instead of just relying on God's supernatural provision, which is wonderful, they had to start relying on God's ability to lead them to be stewards of what God had put in their hand, and that creates an entirely different identity. Amen? All of a sudden, they had to start working. God was still providing, but they had to start believing different. And listen, here's the thing. Some people never cross over into the promise that God has for them. This is not you. This is not us. But some folk will never cross over into the promises of God because they would rather live on the manna than have to work for what God's put in their hand. Some people will be satisfied to live their entire lives living off manna and never experience the blessing and the promise of having what God has called you to walk in, own, live, steward, grow, build, and produce. Not that God's not involved, but you are more involved in a bigger way. And some people, listen, here's the deal. Some people would rather miss the promise of God simply because they don't want to do the work that the promise requires. Some people would rather stay in the wilderness. You say, well, that's old. This happened in Jesus' time too. Remember the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000? Remember that? John chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000. Okay, what happens? The Bible says the very next day, the same crowd showed up again. This crowd thinks they're slick. You ever read that story? You're like, man, who are these idiots? You know what I mean? Because here's what they do. They're like, yeah, real subtle, guys. Because the Bible says that they showed up and Jesus starts teaching them again. And all of a sudden, some Weisenheimer, you haven't heard that word in a long time. Some guy's like, how do we know that you are truly telling us the truth, Jesus? You know, Moses in the Old Testament gave the people bread. Hint, hint, wink, wink. We hungry, Jesus. Give us that bread again. That was a cool trick, you know what I mean? He turned a Happy Meal and a Filet-O-Fish sandwich and fed 5,000 people, and that was great. Jesus, can you do it again? Prove yourself again. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you really want to be hungry, you'll eat the real bread. You'll eat this bread, the bread that is my body. What was he saying to him? He said, if you really want to have your hunger satisfied, you'll follow me and come into a relationship with me. And you know what happens in that story? The Bible says that many people turned away that day. You know why? Because many people would rather live off the bread and the manna that a preacher or a pastor or a church will just throw out to them rather than doing the work of having a relationship with Jesus for yourself, where you can get the bread of life and you can hear the word of God and you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit for your own life. Many people would rather not do that work. And when you don't want to do that work, listen to me, you're going to miss the promise. If you would rather live on manna, you'll stay in the wilderness. The promise, listen, I can't say this enough. The promise is great, but the promise is work. Let me say it again. The promise is great. The word that God has for this house, the word that God has for your life, the word that God has for your family, the promises that God, the calling of God, the anointing of God, the plan and the purposes of God that are locked up on the inside of you waiting to be unleashed. Listen to me. It is amazing. It is awesome. And it will absolutely blow your mind and it will serve a kingdom purpose and all of that. But make no mistake, that promise is going to require work. And before we get all excited about the prospect of crossing over into the promised land, before we dance and jump and shout and come to the altar and decide we're taking the land, we're doing the promise, we better decide. Listen, and let me tell you what that promise for us is: revival. That promise for us is a move of the Holy Spirit that shakes hell, opens up heaven, causes prison doors to be open, causes blind eyes to see, causes deaf ears to hear, amen, somebody, causes families to be restored, marriages to be restored, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of souls from this community to come into the kingdom of God and know Jesus personally for themselves. But what we got to ask ourselves is this: are we ready? Are we willing to commit to the work that promise will require? Because that promise will require work. That promise will require work. A promise of revival will require someone to work and steward it in prayer. Will require us to work and steward the people that God brings in that he saves, that he's bringing to him. Will require us to work for discipleship, to work, to groom them, to teach them, to bring them along. Come on, somebody. It will require us to work. Listen, it will require us to serve in places that we may not want to serve or even feel called to serve, but the greater kingdom purpose is big enough that we say, you know what? If the job needs done, I'll do it. If we got a bunch of kids running around in here and we need somebody to serve in the nursery, I'll do it. If we need another person to help teach in kids' church, I'll do it. Why? Because the promise is big enough. The promise is greater than my own. Come on, somebody. If it means I've got to move over and give somebody my seat, that's the work I'm going to do. Are we ready to do the work to receive the promise? The promise is amazing. The promise is there. God is saying cross over, but I better be willing to do the work. Because if not, I'm going to just be living. Here's the thing. I cannot bring the wilderness identity into the place of promise. It requires change. If that's making you nervous, if the prospect of having to work with our hands and the prospect of possibly not seeing the provision of God move like we've been used to seeing it or like we've seen it in the past, if that makes us nervous and makes us afraid, I got a couple of words for you. Listen to me. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And let me just add this. Because the promise is worth the work. The promise is worth the work. Now, you might be this morning thinking, you know what? I thought I was there, and I thought I was ready, and I thought I was amening crossing over, but you might be finding yourself rethinking this whole crossing over thing. You know what? I like the manna. That's pretty good. I like honeycombs. I can eat it every day for the rest of my life. It's not a problem. I like having what at least, and I don't have the time to debunk this for you, but you might be thinking, well, I enjoy having what feels like the freedom to just go and do whatever I want without being committed to anyone, anything, any place, any people. So I'll just stay in the wilderness. Besides, the wilderness is pretty good. I mean, come on, what's wrong with the wilderness anyway? Wake up every day, there's cereal on the ground. A couple times a week, meat shows up. We got this big pillar of cloud that's leading us, the glory of God. We got all this fire at night giving light to the camp. I mean, honestly, preacher, what's so good about the wilderness, man? God is showing up in the wilderness. It's awesome. Why would we want to change? Why? Do we don't need to cross over? But listen to me. You can't mistake this. Don't get this twisted. Just because God shows up in my wilderness doesn't mean that he intends to keep me there. Just because by God's grace and God's sovereignty and God's love, just because he shows up and provides for me in the wilderness, just because he shows up in the pillar of cloud, just because he gave me the Ten Commandments in the wilderness, just because God moves in my wilderness doesn't mean that his plan is to keep me there. Amen? And if I refuse to cross over and transition from wilderness to promise when God says it's time, because I really had a good time in the wilderness, and God is in the wilderness, and the manna is great, and I would rather do that than have to work and live and steward and do what I've got to do in the promise. Listen, here's the problem. If God says it's time to cross over and move from the wilderness into the promise, guess what? Eventually, God's going to stop showing up in the wilderness. And then I'm going to be real in a real world of hurt. Because the last place, hear me, the last place you want to be is in the wilderness when God's glory has moved to the promise. The last place I want to find myself is alone in the desert when God has said, I'm over here now. One day you'll wake up and the manna won't be there, I promise you, friend. One day you'll wake up and the quail won't be there. One day you'll look outside your tent and the cloud is going to be gone and you're going to be wondering where God went, and God has already told you, I'm over here in the promise. I asked you to cross over a long time ago and you refused, friend. Listen, but let's not let the thing that keeps me in the wilderness, let's not let the thing that keeps me in the desert and away from the promise, let's not let that be because I was afraid of change. Amen. Let's not let that be because I was afraid to change what I grew up and got used to in my desert. No. Let's be strong. Let's be courageous. And let's face whatever changes come so that we can possess the promise that God's called us to possess. Amen. Stand all over this place this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes if you can, just as a way. It's no trick. It's no, I'm not going to do anything stupid or weird. I just want us to take a moment. And I'm going to be done in about 4.5 minutes. I just want to just take a second and just let the Holy Spirit speak to us individually and personally today. And I just want to give you this opportunity, whether you're online somewhere or whether you're in this building. Listen, if you don't know Jesus today, if you've never received the forgiveness and the grace available to you through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, then listen to me. Today, the first crossover that needs to happen in your life, and what may be the thing that you're here in this moment, whether here in this building or online, the thing that you're in this moment together with might be because Jesus is calling you to cross over from death to life, from sin to forgiveness, from hell to heaven, from bondage to freedom, from not knowing what your future holds to knowing the one who holds your future. You can do that today. You can do that today. Right now in this moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. You say, well, how are we going to do that? Well, it's real simple. Actually, to know Jesus, it's as simple as ABC. It's as simple as ABC. The first thing I've got to do is I've got to accept that I am a sinner who needs a Savior. Okay? Listen, one preacher said it this way. He said, we are not mistakers who need erasers. We are sinners who need Saviors. That's the truth. That's what the Bible, that's what the Word of God says about each and every one of us. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Whoever your vision is of the most holy, righteous, perfect Christian in the world is, listen, I promise you, they're not perfect either. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. And for me to the first crossover I've got to do is I've got to accept that about my life. That's A. B is I need to believe that Jesus is that Savior for my life. I am not my Savior. Religion is not my Savior. A church is not my Savior. A president is not my Savior. A political party is not my Savior. Jesus is that Savior. Accept that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior and believe that Jesus is that Savior. And then C, confess with my mouth all of those things that I've accepted and believed, so I shall be saved. Is that simple? Yes, that simple. I know it doesn't, just because it's simple doesn't make it easy, but it is that simple. That is exactly what Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Word of God says, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, so shall you be saved. Well, preacher, I've got all these other issues. Man, so do I. Well, man, I've got these hang-ups and hurts. And yeah, so do I. We've all got that. Listen, don't let that stop you from making this first step. Now, if you make that decision to become a believer in Jesus and a follower of Christ today, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. You may not feel different. You may not feel anything. Are you still going to have some issues and some problems? Absolutely. If you left here today with a sink full of dirty dishes in your kitchen, you're not going to say a prayer that's all of a sudden going to wash your dishes by the time you get home. Amen? But I tell you what, when you start to wash those dishes and work on what you got to work on, you're going to have a friend right there next to you working with you all the way. That's going to be Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That's what you're going to have this morning. That's just a start. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. This isn't about anybody else around you. I don't care. I don't care if you've been in this church. I don't care if you've been coming to this church for 10 years. I don't care if this is your first time here or your millionth time here. If you're in this place and you do not know whether you know Jesus, you have not made that, or maybe you did a long time ago, and man, that hasn't been that hasn't had any impact on your life. It hasn't been a thought in your head. Maybe the Lord is saying today you can come back. Man, you can do that today. Whatever camp you're in, if you need to make a commitment to Jesus today, I want you to do that. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I am going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. And if that's where you are, say, man, I want to make that commitment. I want to make a new commitment or a fresh commitment to Jesus today. We just raise your hand all over this room right now. If you're online, just respond right there in the comments. You can drop a raised hand emoji. Or just say, man, I'm praying that prayer. Amen. I want us to pray right now, everybody in this room. If you're online, I want us to pray right now. Just repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me a new person. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for accepting me. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, make that real. Whether we're praying that in this room, praying that online somewhere, in a living room, around a kitchen table, Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will invade every single mind, heart, and soul. Every person that's prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time, but they know they needed it, God, invade that space right now and let us know that we have become children of God, as your word promises to do, in Jesus' name. If you want to talk about that deeper, need prayer about that deeper, have some questions, you can come meet us. There'll be some people around this altar in just a moment that you can come pray. You can come find me. Or if you're too nervous or embarrassed to do that, you can go to our website, redlifechurch.com, right in the middle of the homepage. Man, there's a video that will lead you through some of these steps, explain this in a much deeper way with a couple of links that you can go to get prayer, ask questions. We're here, we're available. And man, that's 24/7. In a few minutes, we're going to shut down. We're going to be gone out of this building, and we may not see each other for another few days, but we can always talk. Through that, that's the beauty of technology. We want to use that. So I encourage you to do that today, either in person, online. Man, that's available for you. If you have a need in your life today, you want prayer, man, we're available to pray. We're going to close in prayer. We're going to worship for a few moments before we go. Amen? Amen. Hey, look at me, everybody. Look at me right here in the eyeballs. Look at me. I want to say this every single section. Listen, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Look. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Everybody in the back, be strong and courageous. We're going to face whatever changes we need to face courageously. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for the power of the Holy Spirit, for the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, speaking to each and every one of us, God, empowering us and giving us strength and the power from heaven to make whatever changes need to be made in our lives, God, to make whatever. God, I pray right now and thank you for breaking mindsets. I thank you right now for shifting our thought patterns. I thank you right now for shifting the way that we are maybe structuring things, God. Whatever changes need to be made for us individually and as a people and as a family, God, to go forward into the promises that you have for us. Whatever shifts and changes need to be made as we move and transition and cross over from the wilderness to the promised land, God, in Jesus' name, fill us with your grace and your strength to make those changes. In Jesus' name I pray, and let us hear resoundingly in each and every one of our hearts every time that fear tries to shut us down from making those changes, God. Let us hear your voice calling us to be strong and courageous in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.